I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing you with a safe space if you're an independent thinker. Today's Wednesday, so next hour. We'll move on to Hump Day Health and Natural Health News You Could Use. Watching the news last night, I could never have been more thrilled to know that I've got an hour of my show card for something outside of what's going on in the world. Well, to a degree. It always kind of blends a little bit, but I would believe if the black and white and Hispanic and Asian and Indian communities really wanted to do something to help themselves and their communities, they could take control of their health and teach others in their community how to do it as well. So I think this is a segment that's as positive for any community, regardless of the color of your skin. We've got some pretty good observations about kind of the way that the medical system in the United States has treated COVID and the deaths around COVID. Very good clip on that, and also a commercial that shows you just how far off track we've gone. This was a commercial I got a clip of, and I thought it was a joke. I had to look up and make sure it was an actual product. It's an infomercial. You know how corny some of those things sound, but I wasn't surprised. It was real, but it really shows you the slide we've taken as far as the health of people here in America. And then I've got a clip about something that a listener called me last week right after I got off the show. I really appreciated her. Let me know I had talked about something a couple of years ago that apparently had really helped her. So we're going to talk about it again this week. We'll get to that next hour. I have my most succinct quote of the day ever since I started doing quotes of the day, but I think it's appropriate for today's time. Kind of dovetails what I talked about yesterday and what we'll get into today, and it's from Marcus Cicero, Tullius Cicero. And he quite succinctly said, "The more laws, the less justice." And this is my argument around any of these things that we've seen. Regarding policing, regardless of the community, we are over-policed. We are over-regulated as human beings here in the United States, and that's why we are seeing problems with the justice system, overwhelmed with the over-application of endless laws put on us by worthless politicians and bureaucrats. I was watching local news last night. So they said, and a matter of fact, a friend of mine from Houston, Texas, has said he's coming to town for a concert. I didn't pay that much attention to it last night, but I've never been to the Brandon Amphitheater. It looks like a really pretty place. As a matter of fact, I drove past it a couple of days ago. It's the first time I've ever even seen it. I definitely want to catch a show there. I love a good outdoor show. Show under the stars? Get out of here. That's some of the best stuff. So I'm cheering that they're reopening, but I did think it was kind of funny because they were talking about, apparently they had one show already scheduled, but it didn't happen because it was raining. So this will be their first show back after this Thomas Dobbs, Tate Reeves-led hypochondriac reaction to COVID. This is their very first show back. Masks will be mandated. They'll be at 60% occupancy. Now, listen to the guy who runs the amphitheater. It's not his fault. Apparently, there are still things in Tate Reeves' executive orders up to and including today that require that they cannot open more than 60% and that masks are mandatory, so the Brandon Amphitheater should not run afoul of our bureaucracy and our elected officials. They must adhere to these standards. Again, I told you, I went on to Tate Reeves' site the other day. I was trying to find, what are the current COVID restrictions? I mean, they changed so often. You would think there would be a pretty easily identifiable repository of what the rules of the day are. What do we got to do today, Tate? If I cross county lines into Itabena County, do I have to put a mask on and then I can take it off when I get into Simpson County? And then, you know, this is the random absurdity of all of the rules. I couldn't even find it. But apparently, according to the guy running the Brandon Amphitheater, they are capped at 60% occupancy and masks will be mandated. The ironic thing to me is that the name of the band that will be playing at this first show with the mask mandates is Need to Breathe. I found that really, really funny. Need to Breathe will be playing at the Brandon Amphitheater. I believe it's Saturday night. But you will have to wear a mask. So the participants, the audience, breathing is something you'll just have to try. I did a lot of my show yesterday. This will show you how square I am. There's probably a lot of people, and I'm not going to go off on it too much today. I launch into the drug war constantly. Because I think this is there's teachable moments, whether it's immigration or whether it's protests in the streets, whether it's me talking about over-policing, and the drug war has just been such an abysmal failure. And conservatives, you are kind of the last linchpin in the drug war. You keep it going. And so I can't resist trying to make people maybe consider that it's not a good idea. It's not working. But just to show you how square I am, because I would imagine a lot of people say, oh, you listen to that dope smoker? I don't know what people think, that I'm lobbying for drugs on my own behalf for my recreational behavior. That is not the case. This is a show about freedom, real freedom, not just Republican freedom, which is the freedoms we approve of are fine. The freedoms that we don't think you should have, the government should take them away. This is a show about freedom. But just to show you how square I am and how out of the scene I am, man, yesterday was 420 and I didn't even realize it. I talked about ending the drug war and didn't even mention that it was 420. It shows you what a square I am. We had the verdict. We'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, prior to the verdict, a lot of news out there about Maxine Waters making her comments, inciting a riot, calling for violence in the streets. Yesterday, when I was leaving the studio, I was listening to Dana Loesch, who comes on after my show now. I'm a big fan of Dana Loesch. I think she's very entertaining. I think she does a great show. But as I got in the car yesterday, she was making the points and talking about a town hall article that had come out that showed that Maxine Waters was requesting Capitol Hill police escorts. And apparently, reading the story, it was to and from the airports. I don't know anybody has verified that she had any kind of private security or government taxpayer-funded security when she went to Minneapolis and went out and spoke to the crowd. But I can guarantee you, Auntie Maxine didn't just rent a Hyundai and drive to the rally all by her lonesome, get out of the car, park it herself, walk out to the rally, say a few words, then go back to her Hyundai all by herself, and then go back to the airport. I would imagine that we will probably find out that she had some level of security there. And this just I thought it was great when Dana Loesch was talking about it. It's gone pretty viral, but it goes back to what I said the other day. I think Maxine Waters misuses the word we when she says, we need to stay in the streets. We need to risk our lives. We need to take on the tear gas. We need to, you know, she says a lot of we's, but she really means you people. And it was pretty funny to realize she's had these police escorts. These are the same people who also believe some of the squad, some of the Justice Democrats, they started going through their records, too, and finding them spending tens of thousands of dollars on private security. I believe this comes from their offices. The Capitol, in the wake, you know, the every news story is in the wake of the January 6th violence at the Capitol. You know, they have upped the amount of taxpayer dollars that these Congress critters get to spend on all kinds of things, body armor, private security, counseling. A lot of them are still going through counseling. And this is just one of those times where I really wish that I had a radio show on a liberal network. Now, I might be as popular on a liberal network to liberals as I am on a conservative channel to conservatives, because I'm a little bit, I call out the kind of the mainstream narrative of conservative radio. I would certainly love to do that on the left side, too, to just laugh at the leftists who support people like Maxine Waters. She is not one of you. She is just a race-baiting hustler, picking your pockets and enjoying her private security as she calls for defunding the police that protect you. And the police, actually, or on camera. We'll talk about it after the break. Got caught on camera actually possibly saving somebody's life. And what happened? It looks like they're going to start protesting it. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
So, we got a verdict yesterday. Was anybody paying attention? Did anybody notice there was a trial going on yesterday and they rendered a verdict? Holy cow. I have to say, I was interested. I don't think it was a surprise when we heard that the jury had come back so quickly. I think that everybody knew that the fate was pretty well sealed, although I don't know. Guilty on all three charges, Derek Chauvin and the George Floyd thing. Now, I'll tell you right now, I don't agree. There's a lot of people who think he should have just walked. He was just doing what he was told. Maybe he just had bad training. I disagree. I believe that he did do something wrong. I tried to call my legal advisor over at Danks Miller & Corey last night. Didn't get through to him. The involuntary murder charge sounds an awful lot like manslaughter. So I don't really understand the difference of those things. And I also saw somebody else pointing out, you know, how do you get three charges for one act, which I thought sounded strange on its face, too. But I really haven't thought through that. But bottom line is that they have thrown the book at Derek Chauvin, as most people believe that they would. I went and did a little bit of research into him last night. I was just curious to know what kind of, you know, complaints. Was he one of these cops who's had endless reams of complaints? Has there ever been any accusation of any kind of a racial issue with Derek Chauvin? And nothing that I saw said that he had. He'd had some complaint calls, but I would imagine that's a little bit like a restaurant getting a bad Yelp review. I mean, you know, you interact with the public on a daily basis for years and years and years. Some people, I mean, right now we've got a country that's afraid of microaggressions. So I'd imagine just about every cop out there has probably got somebody who called up to complain about something. But I didn't see anything in Chauvin's past that made me think that he was one of these just rogue cops out there. Apparently one time he was disciplined for pulling a woman out of a car, and they said he could have conducted the interview with her still in the car. Maybe a day that he – but I didn't see anything that led to this pattern of abuse. And I think what he did on that day was wrong. I think that once you subdue somebody and you have them on their stomach, this is my opinion. I'm not a cop. I don't have to deal with what they have to deal with. But it seems to me when you have got somebody in handcuffs, you got them down on the ground. Once they quit moving and resisting, then you get off. And then if they resist again, you get back on. But you don't just stay there. This was my issue. But the bottom line is they threw the book at him. And, you know, you just look at this guy in court. And without the information, you know, if I see a rogue cop that has really been terrorizing a community, and those people do exist out there, they're very, 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 very rare, but there are cops like that, just like there's psychopaths basically in any profession. But without that being the narrative around Derek Chauvin, you just really got to look at that guy and just go, holy cow, I mean, that one moment changed his life. Now, obviously, somebody died in it. There's consequences to be paid, but it is rough. You would really hope it would be nice if there was just a brief time of no unrest around this thing, that people say could just sit back and say, well, the legal system worked. We made our point. You know, a precedent has been set now, whatever the talking point is. But we know that that's just not the case. And I was thinking about it last night. I thought, well, what will we get? Will we get 1 week before the next camera, the next footage of the next shooting? We've already had, just in the past week, a couple of new ones. The shooting of the 13-year-old kid. But you would really hope that maybe this would cool things down. But this is really just gathering more momentum. There's video out right now. This is where the Black Lives Matter movement is so damaging to communities that may have some legitimate gripes, but they just cannot, they can't pick and choose their heroes well enough to get people on their side. There was a uniting moment, really, behind the George Floyd video. I would say just about everybody who watched it, not everybody, a lot of people in the law and order crowd just want to see anybody who that the police interact with stacked like cordwood in prisons. But there was a pretty uniting moment where people looked at that and said, that's pretty rough to watch. You're watching a human being die on camera. And they had a uniting moment, and they're just destroying it. With every single action that they've taken since, they destroyed a little bit more. With every shop they burned down. With every diner that they approach sitting outside where they knock the drinks off the table and scream silence is violence and force them to raise a fist in the air or something like that. They lose more and more people. Black Lives Matter is probably going to end up being the most damaging thing to the black community in the end of just about any movement that I've ever seen. So now we've got video out now of a girl in Columbus, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus that was shot to death by police. And apparently she was in the process, and I've seen the video, she was in the process of attempting to stab another young girl, another young black girl. And there has been outrage about this. There were protests last night around this particular shooting, and this needs to be explained to me. Because I'm a dad. I have a daughter. And if my daughter is about to be stabbed, and this was not just a little poke with a pencil or something, this woman, this young girl, this 16-year-old girl, was rearing her arm back with a knife in her hand, going after this other girl. If my daughter is about to be stabbed by somebody and the police actually show up at the right time, police can't be everywhere. We know that. I mean, police cannot protect you. This is why the Second Amendment is so important to us, not to mention the fact we... A well-armed civilian population makes for a slightly better government, but we want to be armed ourselves. The police can't be everywhere, but at this rare instance where the police actually show up in an active fight scene, there was one guy that was trying to kick a woman in the head. The cops couldn't even handle that as they pulled up, but this girl is rearing her arm back to stab another girl, and the cop shows up and shoots the girl who is about to do the stabbing, and there's protests? This is exactly that heroic moment that a cop shows up. I mean, it's in the movies. Have you ever seen a superhero movie where someone is being attacked and Batman or Superman land and grab the perpetrator and take them off the victim? It's not hard. And I've got a daughter. I can't imagine how profusely I would be thanking the police officer who intervened at right the right moment, the last possible moment, as my daughter was about to be stabbed. And yet there are protests, and there is anti-police stuff. And the cop was saving anyone? Another black girl. He was keeping a black girl from being stabbed in broad daylight in a family's driveway. And instead of focusing on the fact that why was this girl, instead of a community going, we don't condone anybody stabbing our people. We don't care if it's one of us or not. It was the girl who was trying to stab the other girl that was at fault, not the police officer for stopping the stabbing. And this is where I say Black Lives Matter has become essentially a mental disease at this point for many of the people who just cannot parse out good policing from bad policing, heroic behavior from possible criminal behavior. If you've got a badge and you take any action, it doesn't matter how, if you save a life, it doesn't matter. If you take action against a perpetrator at this point, if they are black, then you are automatically to be demonized. And I can't imagine how this would end up if this thing plays out the way it is. If you actually make police pay a price for stopping a perpetrator who is committing a violent act against one of your own people, if you extrapolate that out, I can't imagine how that works out for the black community. Do you want, when there's a fight in your front yard and somebody's got a knife and they're stabbing, do you want the police to roll up and just take pictures of it? Just stand there? Is that what you want? And I know this is not what the black community wants. But it is this movement that is, it is the Maxine Waters and the Joe Bidens. Joe Biden says, "I can't breathe. Those were George Floyd's last words. Quote, we can't let these words die with him. We have to keep hearing those words. We must not turn away. We can't turn away." And what Joe Biden is actually saying there is the same thing Maxine Waters and the rest of the race hustlers and race pimps are doing, is that we've got to keep this stirred up. This is fantastic for the black support of our political candidacies, and they are the ones that keep us in this lap of luxury lifestyle that we've become accustomed to. That's what Joe Biden's saying. We can't shut up about this because it's a great campaign issue for us. We can't stop virtue signaling. And what we need to do is keep stirring up more and more of it. You understand that Maxine Waters is like some kind of an energy vampire. The rest of these race hustlers, too. Benjamin Crump. You think this attorney that was representing the Floyd family that has become this face of the courtroom around Black Lives Matter, you don't think he sits home every single day and just waiting for the next event so he can jump on it? He can make more money? He can get more high profile? You think he wants to just say, oh, I hope I never have to represent a victim of crime again. I hope I can just go back to a life of obscurity, and I don't care if I don't make near as much money. Do you think he actually thinks that? No. These people, and again, led by Joe Biden, Maxine Waters, and the rest of the race hustlers, want to keep this stuff stirred up. So Joe Biden says, we have to keep hearing those words. We must not turn away. We can't turn away. He is not talking about wanting justice for people. He is talking about keeping this together as an issue. And I got to tell you, if this cop faces any disciplinary action, now I'm open to the fact, maybe there's some other facts, but there is a video out there right now in Columbus, Ohio, showing this girl with a knife in her hand in the process of rearing back to thrust it into another black girl. And yet there are protests about that. If that cop gets in any trouble, the black community is going to rue the day they'd allowed Black Lives Matter to represent them. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Thankfully, next hour, we'll get into Hump Day Health. Natural health news you can use if you want to actually do something positive for yourself or your community. Then you'll find information there every week that can help you. I found myself a little interested last night in watching some of the reaction to the Chauvin verdict. I find myself, you know, pretty admiring of the black community's ability to get a movement together. I mean, many times it's wildly misguided and led by some of the worst people out there to do it because it's like everything. It's like politics in general. You rally behind people that really have their own personal motives for it. And that's not all of them. But usually the biggest names, the ones that end up rising to the top, it's like politics. They're usually grifters. And so we find, but the black community will come around and get involved in something. Unfortunately, they're following right now a Marxist group like Black Lives Matter. But if you actually could harness that energy, It would be pretty amazing to see. It obviously shows that the black community can get together and do things together as a community. That certainly is a positive thing. I mean, I don't necessarily like that it has to be separate, but I understand it. But wouldn't it be great if you could get a movement like what goes on with Black Lives Matter, with these protest movements, if you could get a movement together that would come together to fix the education in the inner cities? There's obviously a tremendous amount of power and pressure that they could place on school boards and things like that to say, quit putting out our kids, not teaching them anything. After 12 years you have them, for 12 years you don't teach them anything. You can imagine the fruits of that after one generation. It'd be like a 180 degree return to prosperity to community. And it's not, you know, these inner city communities are not all black, but as I say, the black community will really come together on something. If they came together, we talked about it last week, if they came together, if Kenneth Stokes could rally the troops, he really doesn't rally that many people, I will say. I've seen his protests. They're usually, you can count them on two hands, generally, maybe one hand. But if somebody would rally people together to talk about fatherlessness in some of these areas, if they could rally a giant group around this lack of respect for life, this idea of just shooting somebody. There was a drive-by shooting on Ridgewood Road yesterday in the middle of the day, just at an intersection. Boom, 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 boom. Someone decided that something was so important that they needed to actually shoot and kill somebody at an intersection right there. Obviously, there wasn't an altercation going on, but there was a beef. These two girls that were fighting, it's not enough to just have a fight. I've been in fights before. Fights happen. Now they had to go get a knife. They were going to stab. They were going to. This one girl who was shot by police looked poised to try to murder this other girl. I don't know what the issue that started the fight was. I would just wager a bet it probably wasn't important enough that you would murder somebody for it. So imagine if this large block of people, this movement of people said, we're going to stop just disregarding life. And we're going to turn our backs on people who take life. I mean, that cop that showed up and shot that girl, again, maybe there's something will happen in the video. There will be more information that comes in. But from all accounts, and it's a pretty obvious video, that cop came in there like with a cape on. He's like a superhero standing there and saving somebody's life right in front of the camera, yet there are protests there. Of course, I would like to see a movement of any community to people to reclaim their health, and I've got a guy who may lead it next hour, just a fantastic clip about that. But, you know, I look at the needless suffering of black and brown people who are disproportionately affected by things like diabetes, heart disease, cancers, strokes. Boy, if they took the movement and the power and the concentration of a Black Lives Matter type movement to say, we're going to get our health in order so that next time we get a virus around here, we're not disproportionately attacked. I mean, obviously there is energy and there's an ability to coalesce black and brown people around some of these issues. That's a big one for you. It certainly kills a lot more people than police have ever thought to do in the black community. And I listen to the show. I'm not always carrying water for the police. I believe that they need some de-escalation training in some cases. But the problem with it seems to me, again, as an observer, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like almost every group fails to police their own. And I don't know exactly what that is. It's pretty well documented over decades now. You just can't get rid of a bad teacher. Teachers' unions just go in, and you'll have a teacher that is just not doing a service to the children. They're phoning it in. They're putting out a bad product. They're not helping the kids. But you just can't get rid of that bad teacher. Teachers will rally around any attack on a teacher, even if it is justified that this teacher is not teaching well. You can't get rid of a bad teacher. Police have rallied around bad cops for too long. The thin blue line, and the very good cops, with the vast majority of cops, are good guys and gals out there trying to help, but they have refused to turn their back on their worst. And it is the same thing in politics. We just refuse to. Once you get in this group mentality, it I guess it feels to a lot of people like, well, if we turn our back on one of our own, we're somehow giving ammunition to the other side. When that's really not the case, you're bolstering the credibility of your own group. People want to love teachers. It's not an easy job, and teachers can make huge impact on people's lives. We all want to be heroes. You know, we all want to look at teachers as heroes, but when you won't allow people to get rid of bad teachers, you really sully the entire profession. And as far as, you know, bringing the black community together, you know, I look at the white community. There were no riots after the O.J. Simpson trial. It seemed like that was a horrible miscarriage of justice, and there were two white victims there at the hands of a black perpetrator, but people were just disgusted with it. They turned their back on O.J. Simpson. He became a pariah. I think he actually weighed in on the George Floyd thing. This guy. You know, the more you hear, O.J. Simpson's got like a Twitter following or Instagram or TikTok or something like that. It's just unbelievable to me how people's mind, you go through something like that and you still feel like you need to still remain a public personality. But he weighed into it. But boy, you know, I would have loved to have seen some protest, any community, and it should be white, black, brown, Asian, Indian. It should be every single group should have come together when Irwin Schiff, he was a tax protester. He went around talking about the evils of the U.S. federal tax code, pointing out problems with it, writing books about it. Do you know your own government locked him up? And they essentially just slow killed him, much like they're doing with Julian Assange right now. He died handcuffed to a bed. I think he was in his late 70s, 80s, something like that. This was just an old man of no danger to anybody else. He was simply speaking out against the stripping of Americans' wealth, and your government locked him up and then denied him good care while he was in hospital. I mean, it's the kind of thing you hear in third world countries, dictatorships. That's what they did to Irwin Schiff. There wasn't very few people out in the streets. Might have been a protest here or there, but nobody really cares. Somebody that was trying to empower the American people, let you keep a little bit more money in your pocket. I don't know any people who love paying taxes. I know a lot of people who are too scared to not pay them. I don't know anybody who really thinks they're a great blessing to our country. And this man was speaking out against me, but he just died. There was barely a mention of it. He's not real well known. Julian Assange is another one. There are protests going on for Julian Assange right now. I sure would love to see any communities get really up in arms about the slow kill persecution of Julian Assange. The thing that keeps a lot of people is that their side is the one that supported it. It was Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo who prosecuted him, persecuted him, kept him in a jail till he was slow killed. Yeah, you might have some sympathy for him. Yeah, he exposed some corruption. Yeah, he was a friend to Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, but Trump told us we should turn on him now and he doesn't deserve a pardon. And Mike Pompeo said he's an enemy actor, so we're not going to do anything for him. We don't really care because Mike Pompeo says he's an enemy now. There's a whole long list of people who have been abused and had their lives destroyed by state power. I mean, every single day, somewhere right now in a federal courtroom, some authority within the federal government with an endless stream of resources to prosecute some business owner for breaking some inane regulation, some tax case out there. When the government comes after you, particularly at the federal level with their limitless resources, they crush Americans into dust every day. We saw this during the Trump term as they went after some of Trump's compatriots, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, some of these other people. They bring the full weight of the federal government. You can't defend yourself against that. You have to be a billionaire with some political connections to ever escape that kind of attack without coming to some kind of a settlement. And a lot of times it's so wildly unfair. I talked yesterday about, you know, police have participated in the civil asset forfeiture. You've got a situation in the United States. It's slowly being repealed around the country. It became so egregious. But for quite a period of time right now, you've got areas where they will just stop you. If you have cash, if you have a joint in your pocket, they'll just take your car. We see you've got a bag of marijuana there. You might have bought this car with the proceeds from marijuana. We're just going to take your car. And then you've got to hire an attorney. You've got to meet us in court. You've got to prove to us that this car was not bought with the proceeds from selling marijuana. This is in the United States of America. So my point being, I wish we could rally the energy of Black Lives Matter in every single community against the real abuses of the people by the state. And by the state, I mean the government, not just the state of Mississippi. So I find myself a little a little bit admiring the ability of the black community to get people together. I just wish that they would pick and choose their battles a little bit better. It could be wildly effective, and you would gain so much steam, too. You have no idea how many good people are out there in this country right now that will join on to any kind of level of injustice. We don't care what color the victim is, white, black, brown, doesn't matter to us. When you see injustice, it's pretty easy to rally people to your cause. When you just look around and you're looking for a fight and you're looking to make heroes out of people who largely brought on their own circumstances, you lose a whole lot of people. But there's a whole lot of things we could be rallying around. Just a shame. I guess maybe just as human beings, we're not capable of parsing through the good ones and the bad ones.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we've only got a few minutes left in this hour, and then thankfully I'm going to move on to something a little bit more positive, which is some health stuff to point out to you, because it's the one place where, you know, belonging to these big groups, you know, they're not ever going to solve anything. We're always run by just the worst of the worst. Maybe not always. I don't like to exaggerate. Occasionally you have, you know, somebody who actually tries to get some good stuff done. It just doesn't seem like they really rise to the level of prominence of all the grifters that we have, be them political or cultural or whatever. Most of the people at the top are just, their motives are so, they're really transparent at this point. I mean, we know what Maxine Waters is about. Somewhere in her heart, does she want everything to be fine for black people? That maybe. I mean, I guess I can't look into her heart, but I do know she gets tremendous amounts of power and press and money from being just an instigator and somebody that goes out and stirs people up. They open up their pocketbooks for that stuff, but it happens on both sides. You know, the one thing I was have always looked at, and I'm not a historian. Obviously, what the black community went through in this country prior to the civil rights movement was just really horrible. And I would imagine the vast majority of people, except a few psychopaths out there, say that, yeah, it was positive to go through a civil rights movement where blacks were equal to whites in this country. There's, I mean, just, you know, human beings are human beings. Any of us who interact on a daily basis know there's good and bad people in every single race, every color, every creed, every income bracket. It's just, you know, there's a-holes. We're never going to stop that. But I wish the black community would realize the damage that the government has done to them. And you really look at black communities before the government started really getting involved in your life, really setting up these systems that discouraged fathers from being in homes, made it more profitable for people to have more children without a dad in the home. This was the government that did that. And I have some sympathy to people who are victims, in my opinion, of the welfare system. I know a lot of people just like to talk about the welfare queen who sits on her couch. Now, this is in Mississippi, white and black. It's in West Virginia, white and black. I mean, it's everywhere. This is not necessarily a racial issue. But, you know, as the black community kind of lashes out, they always look for more government help. They want the government to do more for them. And I say, look at what the government has done. Look at the state of education since the Department of Education came in. When the federal government came in and said, we know best for every state and every school district in the country, we'll take it from here. And just look at the swan dive of competency of our graduating students. You look at the welfare system and the benefits system. That has just decimated people across the country, not just whites and blacks, but the black community is the one that's kind of in the focus right now of demanding some some return to a better way of life. I mean, it just decimated you. You got the same bureaucrats and politicians that have been sponsoring this drug war that has decimated inner. So this is the recipe that I see that has gone on in inner cities, and this isn't necessarily a racial issue. But you've got schools, government-run schools, who do not educate children. You've got government-run welfare situation that forces fathers out of, well, it didn't force, but certainly encourages fathers to not be in the picture, which means the mom, even as good-hearted as she is, may have to work two or three jobs so she can't spend time taking up slack for her children's bad education and helping educate them at home. So then you put out a product with people with kids that have got no real appreciable skills or knowledge ready for the workforce. This is all at the hands of the government. This has nothing to do with race or ability. It's just that the government comes in and sets up all of these systems. So then you put out a kid out of the high schools that really can't compete in the job market. These same bureaucrats and politicians have made it profitable for companies to offshore jobs. Now, Americans, we all have a responsibility for that, too. We've been buying the imported products. We've been buying Chinese products. We can't just look at the government. They didn't force us to, but they certainly encouraged it. So these kids come out. There's no jobs. They don't have an education. Then you've got a drug war that creates these gangs where the only people in some of these neighborhoods that are really making money are the drug dealers. What do you think these kids are going to do? They didn't have a dad in the home growing up. The schools didn't educate them. There's no jobs when they come out of school. What are they going to do? They're going to go into this subculture of the only thing that they can cling to where there's actually some money floating around, where maybe you can have some level of what they would call success. Then that's the drug gangs that have been created by other government policies. This is for everybody. But when you were just talking about the inner cities, I'm telling you, when the government gets involved, it's just like the names of these bills. You know, they'll name something the For the People Act or the Patriot Act. You know, you got to be a patriot, a true American, to support your own government spying on you. And the American people, as I say, I think the motto of America should just be, duh, okay. Because we just accept these things. Everything the government touches, it destroys. And it has never been more important and more revered than it is now. Conservatives will say, well, I know we should have a smaller government. They shouldn't be in as much of stuff. But, I mean, you went out there and fought for Trump to do his executive orders and control this massive government. Trump didn't shrink the government. That should be like the rule number one for any Republicans out there if you're truly a constitutionalist or some kind of a patriot. It should be the rule. The first step is we elect people who dismantle government programs, not increase them, not add paid family leave to give federal workers 3 months off paid. That's the Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump thing. And eventually, the history books will be written about it. I don't know. It depends on how bad the propaganda is going forward. But when we look at the decline of the United States and most all of our problems, you will be able to root them out. They will be laid at the feet of some government program, some busybody. They couch themselves as do-gooders. And these government programs are destroying all kinds of communities, and they're in the process of destroying the middle class right now. Eventually, we'll catch on, but unfortunately, it may be too late. Moving on to something positive next hour. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And thankfully, it's Wednesday. So from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock every Wednesday, we take a look at things that can empower you to take control of your health. There's two sides to that. It's doing the positive things for your health and avoiding the negative things for your health. I've got a quote of the day to start today's, and I found this fairly interesting. This is a quote from a former FDA, sure, Food and Drug Administration. He was a commissioner of the FDA. His name is Dr. Herbert Ley, L-E-Y, Dr. Herbert Ley. And I just pulled him up to look something up during the break on Wikipedia, and I'll read you some other things. But this is the quote I have from Dr. Herbert Ley, the former commissioner of the United States FDA. Ended last hour explaining to people that you just have no idea the damage that government agencies, government programs is doing to all of us. Let Dr. Herbert Ley tell you. This is a quote from former commissioner of the FDA. Quote, "The FDA protects the big drug companies and is subsequently rewarded, and using the government's police powers, they attack those who threaten the big drug companies. The thing that bugs me is that people think that the FDA is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it is doing are as different as night and day." That's a former FDA commissioner. So I was looking up during the break to see, well, when was Herbert Ley? When was he the FDA commissioner? And apparently he took the post July 1st of 1968. He served as FDA commissioner for only a year and a half. He was ousted in December of 1969. And this is, you know, this is really one of the sickest things about organizations and bureaucracies and the government when they control things like your health, is that there occasionally pop up some good people and they must be dispatched immediately. This is more from his Wikipedia. His 3 years at the FDA came during a time when the FDA grew from an insignificant agency to the key agency protecting consumers. During that time, 300 drugs were removed from the market. After he left, Ley stated that he had, quote, constant, tremendous, sometimes unmerciful pressure from the drug industry, and that the drug company lobbyists combined with the politicians who worked on behalf of their patrons could bring, quote, tremendous pressure, unquote, to bear on him and his staff to try preventing FDA restrictions on their drugs. And do we think that that's changed? Oh, that kind of corruption, Mike, that was back in the 60s. We're such a more enlightened, population with, you know, the internet and all our new knowledge and all the advances of Western medicine. Certainly it's not still like that. Are you kidding me? Pharmaceutical companies still have six lobbyists for every congressman. So apparently back in the 1960s, we had an opportunity to maybe get the FDA to actually do some good. They were taking dangerous drugs off of the market, actually kind of taking a look at these things. And they took the guy who was spearheading the reform effort of the FDA and they kicked him out, which is what government's very good. And here's the result. I ran across this commercial. It almost sounds like a parody to me, but it's kind of like, you know, you'll watch an infomercial and you'll see somebody opening a loaf of bread and the bread just flies everywhere. And you think to yourself, I've opened a lot of bags of bread. It's never flown out like that. You know how corny and cheesy some infomercials are. It's really more of that. But here's where we are as a population now. Here's the health of the American people wrapped up in one commercial.
Tired of sorting pills?
This has been my nightmare. 19 different medications that I try to sort every week, taking up to an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. What a pain.
John discovered Hero, the smart device that helps you manage your meds.
Hero!
Load it up with the pills you need to take. It pre-sorts them and dispenses them at just the right time.
It's so easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. I would highly recommend this machine to anyone.
For just $29.99 a month, Hero can help you or a loved one stay independent.
So I literally get 90 days supply, open the machine and dump in 90 days of small pills, and I'm good to go.
We are so confident you will love Hero. We offer a 30-day no-risk guarantee.
It really has been a lifesaver for me and my dad.
Call 800-200-2250 or go to herotv.com to order.
It's a Hero. The guy has 19 medications. 19. Now, 15 of those are to address the side effects from the first four. This is the system that we have wrought. I would like to tell that man, hey, you know, it's even easier than the HERO system that organizes your 19 medications that you're on. Taking care of your health all along. That service is, I believe it said in there, $29.99 a month. $360 a year just for sorting your medications. This does not include the cost of the medications, the cost of the doctor visits to get these prescriptions. It's $360 a year just to sort his 19 medications. I haven't spent $29 a year on medications over the past 15 years when I just decided to pay attention to what I was shoving into my pie hole. I mean, I think that's really is that's what the former FDA commissioner envisioned, and that's why he was trying to do something about it before he was run out on the rail by the Johnson administration, because the government cannot accept anybody who gets in the way of corporate donors. This is a clip I ran across. It's on a YouTube channel called High Intensity Health. And apparently he did a video about COVID deaths. You know, a lot of people in the natural health community have been jumping up and down talking about things like vitamin D, exercise, you know, the natural treatments, quercetin, zinc, all kinds of ways you can protect yourself from not only COVID, but every other disease, eating good food and not shoving your face full of processed chemicals. And so he put out a video, and apparently he got some backlash here. So he kind of did this a little bit in a response to that. And I don't know, maybe he just sounds exactly like me, which is why I'm drawn to this thing. But I'm just glad to see someone else making these points.
Now, if you were to survey a bunch of people randomly off the street, I would guarantee you that about 80 to 90% would say, oh yeah, the vid was the leading cause of mortality in the U.S. during the last year, but it wasn't. You know what was? Heart disease, congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease, hypertension, high blood pressure. Diseases of the vasculature were the number one cause of death in this country. In fact, they claimed that collectively those conditions were written on death certificates, which claimed 690,000 people last year. So what I'm going to do here is just put CVD for cardiovascular disease. Now, it's important to sort of pause and talk about this right here, cardiovascular disease, because not only did it claim far more lives than the vid, but it's the number one risk factor besides age. So we know age is a risk factor for disease severity and mortality, but obesity and heart disease and hypertension and heart disease related comorbidities are the number one leading factor that determine whether or not you're going to have a mild versus severe case or even end up in the ICU and even dying. Okay, so where's the outrage for the heart disease causing foods in our children's schools? Where's the outrage? Heart disease and atherosclerosis, which is the narrowing of the cardiovascular vessels. Guess what? That starts at age 4. So where's the outrage? You know, there's a lot of outrage for people that don't wear face masks at dog parks or walking on the street, but there's no outrage for all the people that are sitting and waiting to get dinner at Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's. There's no outrage for the politicians that are signing bills like the farm bill and agreeing to you know, voting yes on bills that subsidize junk food to make the Happy Meal $2.99 that is making kids fat, that is disproportionately affecting people of color. Where is the outrage? There's so much outrage for masking and people that are having house parties, but there's no outrage for the people that are intentionally going out and causing disease on themselves and the companies and the politicians and the people behind driving this epidemic of heart disease. Where's the outrage? I mean, it's disappointing. Where's the outrage for cancer? So cancer killed 598,000 people in the year 2020. Where is the outrage for the chemical carcinogens that are in your drinking water? Where's the outrage for the chemical carcinogens that are in the foods that you buy, the food packaging, the BPA, the other endocrine disrupting chemicals that are carcinogenic? Where's the outrage for the chemical carcinogens that are in your bedding and your pillows? There's no outrage. There's no concern about this. You can go to Target right now and buy chemical carcinogens and think you're doing something healthy for yourself, but you're not. So if we add up 690,000 plus 598,000, that is 3.7 times more people that died compared to 345. Now, what do you think 300, what do you think killed just, now I'm not diminishing those 345,000 people that died. There was a lot of great people, I'm sure. I don't personally know anyone that has died from the vid, but there's a lot of people that did. So this is from the disease caused by SARS-CoV-2. So what I'm going to do here is just put SARS-CoV-2 infection. Now, it's important that we understand, according to the CDC's website, about 94 or 96% of the people that died had comorbidities like these, pre-existing cancer, heart disease, metabolic disease, obesity. So a super, super, super majority of the people that died had other conditions that made them more vulnerable, and those conditions are being completely ignored by policymakers, by public health experts, by the media.
By Thomas Dobbs.
Where's the outrage for that omission of that evidence? Where's the outrage? There's outrage for young kids playing sports. There's outrage for children traveling on airplanes without facial coverings, and people are making viral videos for these families that have like a children with autism that doesn't want to put on a mask. Like, there's all this hyper-focus on that. But there's no hyper-focus on preventing our children from getting these diseases that are increasing the burden of the healthcare system. The people with these comorbid conditions, the obesity, the hypertension, they are having severe COVID and they are taking up space in the intensive care unit. Okay, so I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying, where's the outrage? Now, what I want to do...
So, yeah. Yeah, and I trace this back to, we like the easy stuff. We always like to do the easiest thing. And the mask and the kids' sports or people congregating at a church, that's easy. We can just stop them. We just stop them. We just close that church. We just force them to wear a mask. We force the children to wear a mask because that's easy. But you don't pay attention. I mean, the kids at school who are going to school right now under the direction of Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs, forced to wear a mask, are ingesting poisons into their system, probably most of them every day at lunch. They're getting fat. They're getting obese. They're going to develop future heart disease because of the garbage that they're actually eating during the day, which is far more dangerous to these kids in the long term than COVID ever thought about doing. There's no outrage about the fact that they have been spraying these herbicides and pesticides on our food and not really telling us about it. This changed in the 1990s. This is when this really became a widespread practice. Do you remember back in the 1990s where they came out and they went, hey, we want to let everybody know we're spraying all these new chemicals on food. We figured out a way to grow crops to where we can really coat all of the food in pesticides and herbicides and not kill the plant. So you're going to be eating a lot of this stuff. Just want to give you a heads up. No, they never said that. They just started doing it. And places like the USDA and the FDA signed off on that. And we've seen rises in all kinds of diseases ever since they started doing that. Where is the outrage on that? None. Doesn't exist. We're such a reactive, simple people when it comes to health policy. Where is Thomas Dobbs on the fact of all these people dying of heart disease, of diabetes, and of cancer in Mississippi? Never done a press conference on it. Never educated. He will tell you endlessly how to pinch the nose of your mask and wear it and how to take it on and off and to make sure that you got it up over your nose. And he'll tell you all these things. He won't tell you one single thing about the chemicals you're ingesting that are leading you down these paths of heart disease and cancers. He doesn't have one press conference. I don't know how long the guy's been in office, but you would feel like he could maybe get around to doing one. The things that are actually really killing people year in and year out, too. It's not even a one-off. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, these things kill people every single year. We get any education about that? No. Is there any outrage by the people? No. They go to the grocery store, they buy the shiny boxes, they buy the things they saw on TV, they buy the things that please their taste buds because you've been conditioned to love this food because it's sweeter and it's saltier than any other food through chemical manipulation. And it has laid bare our vulnerability to any virus. And it's not just COVID. Again, last year, more people died of cancer and heart disease than died of COVID by 3.7 times. And that's not even accounting for the fact that most of the people that succumbed to COVID had those conditions as well. So the number of people who just got wiped out by COVID all by it lonesome, just healthy people going about their lives and boom, they're gone because of COVID is just, it's tiny. And yet there is no calling to account these things that we take into our bodies every day that companies are putting out. They know they're not good for you. The FDA knows it's not good for you. The USDA knows that these things are not good for you. The pharmaceutical company loves the fact that they're not good for you because it continues. It leads to that first clip I played with that guy with 19 pills. They know the more of the garbage food you eat, the more products they will sell on the backside. Where's the outrage for that? None. It's non-existent. Because we like the simple stuff, the things we can see, the things we can just shout out against. Masks. Got to wear your mask. That's the true health danger in our society. No, we've been living with these dangers for years and years and chosen to ignore them.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're back. I don't want to get into this whole story, but you know, we had heard stories about medical examiners coming out and saying that, I remember there was a guy in Colorado that had been found dead on a park bench and his blood alcohol level was four or five times the legal limit. I mean, it was something like 0.4, where what a DUI is 0.08, something along those lines. And so he died of alcohol poisoning. And the coroner was looking, you know, at records and stuff. And he reported the guy died. He drank himself to death, liver failure or whatever. But apparently the guy tested positive for COVID. And this medical examiner saw that they had changed it to make him a COVID death. And you say, well, these are just little incidental stories. I've talked to people about this, and they go, oh, well, I'm sure that happened in some cases, but the numbers are so big, it couldn't be that often. You know, just sometimes mistakes are made, and in the end, we'll know what all the numbers really are. Well, now we have got somebody who's done a study, and we've found out why this is happening. In March 2020, this is a guy, again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this story. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB. I'll send you the link to the story about this guy who did a study. He was kind of a statistical and analyst guy, mechanical engineer, does some stuff with holistic health. And he got a team together and they started studying how COVID deaths were recorded. And this is what he found. In March 2020, there was a significant change made to the definition of what a COVID-19 fatality was. As explained by Henley, and he's the guy who did the report, there's a handbook on death reporting which has been used since 2003. Two key sections on a death certificate. In the first part, the cause of death is detailed. In the second part, contributing factors are listed. Contributing factors are not necessarily statistically recorded. It's the first part, the actual cause of death, that is most important for statistical accounting. March 24th of 2020, the NVSS... I'll have to go look and see what that was, updated its guidelines on how to report and track COVID-related deaths. They were saying that, this is a quote, they were saying that COVID-19 should be listed in part one for statistical tracking. Essentially, what this means is, and this is a 180-degree change from the way they have been reporting deaths since 2003. So this explains, you know, when you say, well, oh, yeah, that coroner out in Colorado, he just, somebody screwed that up. It's just a little, I mean, there were several of these incidences I have brought up on this show. And you say, well, you know, here or there, I'm sure there's been some bad reporting, but there's probably been some people who died of COVID before it really got popularly diagnosed. Well, it turns out that they at the bureaucratic level at the top, they said if they test positive for COVID, in order for us to track it, you got to put it in the first spot, meaning cause of death. You can't put it in the second spot because we don't track those things for statistics. And the only way we can track COVID is to put it in the first spot as cause of death. And so now we know through this guy's study that this was a concerted effort. This was actually a new policy implemented for COVID that turned on its head the way that deaths had been reported before. And I don't know if we'll ever get an honest accounting of the number of people who were just minding their own business in relatively good health and COVID took them down. I don't know what those numbers would be. You know, they've reported that it was 94 to 96% of people who died from COVID had 2.6 comorbidities, meaning heart disease, cancers, diabetes, obesity, these kinds of things that made them vulnerable to it. But now we know it was a policy. It's a policy put down to make COVID the cause of death in people who had COVID, regardless of whether it was a motorcycle accident or a drug overdose or drinking themselves to death, or a heart attack. If they tested positive for COVID, the authorities said, we want that COVID in the number one so we can track it more easily. When I come back, I've got a pretty interesting clip. At least I think it's interesting. It's Dr. Berg explaining why obese people are more vulnerable to COVID. I like knowing the mechanics of this kind of stuff because it kind of informs our health going forward on anything. And obesity was shown to be a huge risk factor when it came to hospitalizations and death from COVID. So I think it's worth knowing why. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We do it every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. If you ever hear anything on the show that you want to follow up more on or you want to see my source material, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you my show notes. Or if you want to forward it to a loved one who may benefit from any of the information here, I think it's always it's not always rewarding. Some people just, they do not want to hear anything outside of, hey, I found out they got a pill for that. But if you've got friends and family who are getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, then sometimes sending them some information that might help them actually bears fruit and is kind of rewarding. I'm going to talk about a woman that called me last week, next segment. This is Dr. Eric Berg. I like a lot of his stuff. Main reason, he's been endeared to this radio show. And I've tried to get him on air, but he's busy and he's kind of a national figure, tougher to get onto Central Mississippi radio sometimes. But he puts out short, succinct, you know, easily digestible videos that explain a lot of the mechanisms of the body. You can go on YouTube. He does a ton of YouTube content. And you could just type in Dr. Berg. His name is B-E-R-G. Dr. Berg, keto. Dr. Berg, heart disease. Dr. Berg, back pain. I mean, just about anything. He covers a whole host of things. And I think he does a very good job. He does some live streams, too, if you really want to start getting into his information. But he's like Dr. Axe. I just think he's a great resource. He put out this video on why obese people are having a problem with COVID. What are the mechanisms that make them more susceptible to that? And I will extrapolate out to other diseases as well. I think he does a good job of explaining it, and I found it pretty interesting.
Now, I'm sure you've heard about this. People that are overweight are much greater at risk for getting COVID-19 than if you're not overweight and you're actually healthy, right? But the question is, why? Well, there's some very interesting reasons. Let's go through all of them. Number one, the extra fat in your abdomen puts physical pressure on your diaphragm and your lungs, restricting oxygen.
I did not know that.
And so this makes the lung more susceptible to having problems. In addition to that, overweight people have a much greater problem with sleep apnea, which also decreases the oxygen to the lungs. Number two, people that are overweight and obese have a much greater risk of getting blood clots to the small vessels of the lung, as well as the inside of the arteries. And I'm sure you've probably heard about this, the link between blood clots and COVID-19 infection. Well, there's one right there. There's a risk factor. Number three, when someone is obese, the fat is so overwhelming that it's spilling over from the liver into the organs. It's infiltrating fat in the spleen, which is a really key immune organ, the thymus, which is like the training camp for T cells, and the bone marrow. So that alone is going to decrease your immune system. Number four, people that are obese have chronic inflammation, and inflammation alone increases someone's risk for what's called a cytokine storm, which is an inflammatory condition that is out of control. And by the way, the best antidote for that would be vitamin D. And that's in some other videos. Number five, insulin resistance worsens obesity, and obesity worsens insulin resistance. And people that have insulin resistance or are obese have an increased ACE2 receptor overexpression. Now, what does that mean? It means they're more susceptible to getting SARS-CoV-2. And this is also the reason why children aren't hardly at all affected by COVID-19, because they haven't developed these receptors yet. And also, insulin resistance takes many years to develop, chronic consumption of carbs, right? You develop this over a period of time, and then you become more susceptible to this particular virus. And insulin resistance takes a longer time to develop. So even if a child is consuming a lot of carbohydrates, they might not have insulin resistance for quite some years. But of course, they're not even expressing that ACE2 receptor until after they get a little bit older. So they're not at risk. And number six, people that are overweight and are obese are nearly always low in vitamin D. In fact, if you combine people that are overweight and obese, that would total 72% of that group being deficient in vitamin D. And vitamin D is the most important vitamin to help minimize the complications, the side effects, and the severity of COVID-19, let alone decrease your susceptibility to that virus. Now, how do you handle people that are overweight and obese? It's very, very simple. If you're new to my channel, I put a link down below. You just do healthy keto and intermittent fasting.
So there you go. So those are some of the mechanisms. Obesity has just been, it really just ended up being such a problem. And look, I've been chubby myself. I mean, I know the difference in my health when I am a proper weight and when I have been overweight. Back in my early 30s, I had gotten a little chunky. It's one of those things. I know it sneaks up on all of us. It's almost funny in hindsight when you go back and look at pictures. I remember when I reconnected with this girl out in Colorado that I hadn't seen in years and years, and I guess she had seen some pictures of me on Facebook, and she goes, yeah, you got a little heavy there for a while. And I never noticed it. I really never noticed it. What I did notice was I was getting sick a lot. I was getting the colds. I was getting the flus. I was getting the allergies. I was getting restless leg. I was getting insomnia. I had chronic stomach problems. I thought I was just getting older. But I'm sure some of that excess weight that I was carrying was part of the problem that I was having all along. It wasn't getting older, because as soon as I started paying attention to what I ate, all of those conditions disappeared, and now I haven't had a sick day in 15 years. So obesity is a serious issue. If Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci won't talk about it, then I think it's worth understanding the mechanisms. And again, for what he just described, obesity leads to greater instances of cancer, of heart disease, of diabetes, of these other diseases too. Obesity is making us vulnerable to so many different diseases. It's not just COVID, but it was interesting to me to understand the mechanics of why obesity was linked to this particular disease. When I come back, we're going to get into a clip about kefir. This is something that you can consume, and we're going to go through a clip on all of the tremendous benefits of it. I gave you last week or a week before, a couple of things of turmeric and garlic and the tremendous benefits they could have. Turmeric is a pennies a day that you can include in your diet. It was on last week's show, I believe. So I always like to try to give some easy little things to do, and buying a little bit of kefir and consuming it on a daily basis is one of those incredibly easy things to do. If you want to improve your gut health, I'll let them explain to you when we come back how it makes an important difference in your health. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment for today's Hump Day Health segment. I had somebody call me last week right after I signed off. I do not take calls during this show because, and I don't know if I did my disclaimer today, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not an immunologist, I'm not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist, not a nothing. I've got no certifications to advise anybody on their health, and I don't take calls because I don't want to get into a situation where I'm accidentally recommend something to you. It's up to you. You have got to be the person that takes an interest in your health, and you have got to end up doing your own research. So somebody called me at the end of last week's show. I really appreciate it because I like any kind of people who offer anything, you know, that's helped them, whether it came from this show or not. If there's something that's helped you, if you've experienced a kind of a rebirth in your health later on in life when you thought all hope was lost, I love hearing those stories because I know they're possible and they happen all the time. So she called me up and said that I'd covered kefir, K-E-F-I-R. A couple of years ago, and that she had incorporated it in her diet and she had seen great benefits from it. And so I thought, well, maybe it's time to kind of revisit that. Obviously, it's been a while. I try not to repeat a whole lot of material, and I've got a different clip that I'm sure I played the first time. So it's going to explain what kefir is. You can find this in your local grocery store. I'll give a couple of caveats after this clip plays, but this is something you can just add to your diet, even if you don't change everything else. Do something that'll help you, particularly when it comes to gut health, and kefir is an easy way to do it.
Kefir is a fermented drink traditionally made using cow.
I say kefir, they say kefir. I've heard it both ways. Don't know if anybody's right or wrong, or if this is a tomato-tomato situation, but they'll call it kefir.
Cow's milk or goat's milk. It is made by adding kefir grains to milk. These are not grains in the conventional sense, but cultures of yeast and lactic acid bacteria that resemble a cauliflower in appearance. Dairy-free versions of kefir can be made with coconut water, coconut milk, or other sweet liquids. These will not have the same nutrient profile as dairy-based kefir. Here are six amazing benefits your body receives when you include kefir in your diet. 1. Kefir is a more powerful probiotic than yogurt. Some microorganisms have beneficial effects on health when ingested. Known as probiotics, these microorganisms can influence health in numerous ways, including digestion, weight management, and mental health. Yogurt is the best-known probiotic food in the Western diet, but kefir is actually a much more potent source. Kefir grains contain about 30 strains of bacteria and yeasts, making it a very rich and diverse probiotic source. 2. Kefir can improve bone health and lower the risk of osteoporosis. Osteoporosis, porous bones, is characterized by deterioration of bone tissue and is a massive problem in Western countries. Ensuring an adequate calcium intake is one of the most effective ways to improve bone health and slow progression of osteoporosis. Kefir made from full-fat dairy is not only a great source of calcium, but also vitamin K2. This nutrient plays a central role in calcium metabolism, and supplementing with it has been shown to reduce the risk of fractures by as much as 81%. 3. Kefir may be protective against cancer. Cancer is one of the world's leading causes of death. It occurs when there is an uncontrolled growth of abnormal cells in the body, such as a tumor. The probiotics in kefir are believed to inhibit tumor growth by reducing formation of carcinogenic compounds, as well as by stimulating the immune system. 4. Help with various digestive problems. Probiotics such as kefir can help restore the balance of friendly bacteria in the gut. This is why they are highly effective for many forms of diarrhea. There is also a lot of evidence that probiotics and probiotic foods can help with all sorts of digestive problems. This includes irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, ulcers caused by H. pylori infection, and various others. 5. Kefir has potent antibacterial properties. Certain probiotics in kefir are believed to protect against infections. This includes the probiotic Lactobacillus kefiri, which is unique to kefir. Studies show that this probiotic can inhibit the growth of various harmful bacteria, including Salmonella, Helicobacter pylori, and E. coli. 6. Well tolerated by people who are lactose intolerant. Regular dairy foods contain a natural sugar called lactose. Many people, especially adults, are unable to break down and digest lactose properly. This condition is called lactose intolerance. The lactic acid bacteria in fermented dairy foods, like kefir and yogurt, turn the lactose into lactic acid, so these foods are much lower in lactose than milk. They also contain enzymes that help break down the lactose even further.
So, there you go. So that's kefir. It's K-E-I-F-I-R. You can find this in grocery stores. You should, if you really want to get the biggest benefits out of it without any downsides, you should probably avoid there's fruity flavors that are fantastic. If you like, you know, fruit flavored yogurts, which I do, but they're full of a lot of sugar. And the best benefit you would get is from, you know, an unflavored or a plain kefir. Now, it's not the tastiest treat in the world, but you know, I remember I didn't used to like to take Robitussin, and my mom would force it down my stomach, and across my tongue. I think I used to cry when the Robitussin came out when I was a little kid. Some things are a little bit, you know, apple cider vinegar is an acquired taste. Took me a long time before I could drink that stuff straight, and I don't know if my kids can to this day. But anyway, if you get the sugar kind, you get the fruit flavored kind, you're probably getting a lot of sugar in it too, so you need to watch out for that. The possibility, if you wanted to, you could start with mixing them half and half, get a little sugar flavored, fruit flavored kefir, and mix it with some plain, just start diluting it more and more until you can tolerate regular kefir. It's not horrible. You're not going to gag or anything, but anyway, it's something to consider. It's something you can just pick up at the grocery store and add. And we certainly have talked a lot on this show over the years about gut health, and this is a good thing for it. Last thing I wanted to cover today, study finds, studyfinds.org. It's a great website for all kinds of interesting stories. It seems like it just started. I just ran across it probably a year ago, but they put a lot of stuff out. I had this run this week. Many people champion low-fat and vegetarian diets as the best way to stay healthy, but is that really the case for men? A new study finds lowering fat also slashes male testosterone levels. The results can leave men choosing to go green with their diets suffering a loss of libido. Researchers from the University of Worcester, you know, I think they pronounce that Worcester. I'm not sure. Add the male sex hormone also protects against heart disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's. Results show vegetarian low-fat diets rank as the worst for men's sexual health, decreasing testosterone by up to 26%. I've done a lot of stories on this show about the declining male fertility and testosterone levels. Now, what's interesting about this, I'm about to get into it, is the fat component in this. And if you just stop and think about the fact we have been, until about 5 years ago, our health authorities and nutrition authorities were telling us to eat a low-fat diet since probably the 70s. Now, we have been guzzling down things, trying to avoid fat at all costs, and it has just laid us bare for all kinds of disastrous health outcomes. People are now discovering that good, healthy fats are good for a human being. Let's see. These diets typically focus on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. Such foods are rich in fiber and low in calories in comparison to meat and other animal products. Other low-fat diets cut this key chemical by 10 to 15% on average. Quote, there were significant decreases in sex hormones on low-fat versus high-fat diets. Lead author and nutritional therapist Dr. Joseph Whitaker writes in the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. So what they have done to us is give us such abhorrent advice to cut out all these fats, and it is affecting all kinds of mechanisms of the body. Now, people are suddenly discovering that now over the past several years to understand. And there's a difference between healthy fats and bad fats. If you're eating fried chips, that's not a healthy fat in there. But if you're eating things like fish and even a less lean cut of meat, if you're eating avocados and coconut oil, for a lot of people, that's incredibly beneficial. I will say this. So when it comes to vegetarian diet, I kind of monkeyed around with it probably a year or so ago. I had looked at some stuff and thought, I'm always trying little experiments with my own health. And I thought, I think I'll go vegetarian for a month or 2 months or 3 months just to see how it is, see how it makes me feel, because a lot of people were talking about it so highly. It didn't take me but a couple of weeks of research to realize that that's probably not what I wanted to do. Now, you will run into people who are vegetarians or vegans, and they will tell you how great they feel. They will switch from the standard American diet to a vegetarian or vegan diet, and they'll tell you it makes them feel fantastic. And I do not doubt their sincerity in that. I would imagine anything that you do to eat a cleaner diet than the standard American diet is going to have tremendous benefits to the way you feel. It just appears to me in vegetarian and vegan diets that you are missing out on component things that the human body needs. And these things come in the forms of fats and proteins that you get from meat and animal products. We are omnivores. We eat both meat and plant. I think our teeth are designed that way. It's about the only way I can really look at it and try to figure out who's right. We've got ripper tearer teeth in the front. We've got some canines even that are used to tear flesh. So it seems to me that the human body is designed to eat these meats. We probably eat some of the wrong meats. Some people may eat too much meat, not enough green stuff. But the vegetarian, and particularly I want to call out this low-fat diet, it seems like it's just been an absolute disaster for Americans' health. Since they started telling us to eat a low-fat diet, Americans' health have been continually declining. It does not mean you should not put more greens into your diet. There's certainly, and get organic. Get the environmental working groups, Dirty Dozen. Make sure you're getting organic when it comes to some things. But eating more green is good. Cutting out all meat does not seem to be so. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.